All right, here we go. Haters gotta hate, snitches gotta snitch. He ain't trying to be anybody's bitch. He's got to snitch on you. Yes, he do. He'll snitch on you. He'll tell on you. See, you'll never be quite the same. Once he give the judge your government name, he'll even snitch on your boo. For jail, he's too colorful. All right, fuck it, that's enough. Let's get to the show.
What is TWS Podcast, episode whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicator.
It's my podcast, and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS Podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
My man said that he bamboo on the steps. Tell him what you can.
I need that as my theme music, like everywhere I go. That's my new shit right now. That's a Sky Zoo, Bamboo on the Steps from the album Peddler's Theme. That's from like 2017. I'm just now like really getting into Sky Zoo and realizing the elite level lyricist that he is. You know how much I love lyricism. So Sky Zoo is definitely skyrocketing up my list of MCs. He won't surpass Rhapsody though, but you know, Sky Zoo's dope. Anyway, I need that to be my theme song. Somebody need to play that behind me at all times, wherever I go. What's up? It's once again, this is J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society, and you are tuned in to the What Is TWS Podcast. We are episode 130. Tam, I done 130 of these motherfuckers. Like, damn. Anyway, let's get caught up on where I've been in the last week. I gotta congratulate myself, and then I gotta snitch on myself a little bit. So first off, during this past week, I made it to 7 months in my quest for sobriety this time around. So 7 months in, really working the program this time around, really embracing the concepts. And to be honest, you know, at 7 months right now, alcohol is like is the furthest thing from my mind. Like it is the least of my problems. I think now all the things are coming to surface that like pushed me in that direction. All of the things that would have normally, you know, made me want to drink, those are the things that I have to address. They don't make me want to drink, but they make me upset. They make, you know, they bother me. And now I have to start learning to address those things before that anger or that pain or whatever drives me back in that direction. But right now, the actual idea, the thought of having a drink, like, doesn't really occur to me, if ever. And just got to say, I'm thankful for that. Big step today. I made it off of step 4, finished step 5, and I am now on to step 6. That may mean nothing for you if you've never done a 12-step program before, but this is major for me. I've always been one of those 3-step in, 3-step out kind of guys. Like, I get to step 3, and I'm supposed to be on step 4, and then something, like, there's a pause. I don't make it. And this time around, despite the things that have happened since I really started doing my step work, I got over that step 4 hurdle, did my step 5, and now I'm in step 6. I know, again, means nothing to you if you've never done a 12-step program, but I'm feeling pretty excited. I'm feeling really good about this 7 months and where sober life can take me in the future. So shouts to me on that one. Now I gotta snitch on myself a little bit. I did some things on Friday that I'm not proud of. Not proud of at all. Really, really quite embarrassed. But I'm going to share this with y'all because, you know, I don't hold anything back. I don't keep anything from the people. I love you. And in order for us to really have these true and honest conversations, I have to be open and honest with you about who I am and the mistakes that I make. So I'm going to go ahead and nominate myself to have my black card revoked, because I did a whole lot of, like, against the rules black stuff Friday night. So I'm scooting, right? I'm telling you, like, I've crossed the, you know, I've crossed that line with the scooting. Like, it's no longer a scary or weird thing to me. Like, I get out there, I scoot wherever. Like, I'm in the streets. I'm doing all kinds of, I'm going full speed. I'm hitting a full 19 miles per hour, like, breeze in my Caesar, whatever the fuck you call a haircut these days. But, so I'm leaving my ex-wife's house. Do I call her my ex-wife yet? I don't know. I don't want to call her my baby mother. I'm leaving my daughter's house Friday night and heading home. And I scooted, you know, from the apartment to normally where I catch the bus. And I'm standing at the bus stop, and I'm like, I got to wait like half an hour for the bus. Let me just take a look at how long it would take me to scoot on home. Like, I could just scoot on down the road, get home, and have a good time. I'm actually enjoying scooting, you know, so I'm like, it might be more fun to take the trip. So I look, and the time is like not that much. Like, it's going to, I could be home in about as much time as it's going to take me to just make it onto the bus. So I'm like, bet, I'm going to do it. And this is where, like, all black awareness just left me somehow. And it didn't even leave me, because as I was doing it, I'm like, this is the shit you're not supposed to do. But for some reason, I couldn't stop myself. So anyway, first mistake, I saw that the directions took me down a road called West Cowpath Road. That should have been the first inkling that this is not you. This is not for you. This is not your lane. You don't go down a road called Cowpath. Like, where do you lead? Why would there be a cowpath? Where are you leading cows to in Texas? You leading them to the slaughter. I should have seen, like, this is the horror movie signs. You don't go down Cowpath Lane. That's the road to the slaughterhouse or whatever. Like, it's not a good sign that the road is called Cowpath. But fuck it, I'm going, because, you know, it's late at night. It's not, you know, it's a residential street, so it's not a whole lot of traffic. I can really, like, you know, let the scooter go. I can really get it in. I'm really out there scooting, you know. I'm getting my 4 miles per hour out of this electric scooter. So I'm having a good time. And then I get to a point that, according to my phone, according to Google Maps, you know, it's supposed to keep going, but there's a dead end. Again, sign number two. Like, I've reached the dead end. Things are telling me you're not supposed to go any further. You're already on, like, Slaughterhouse Lane. Why, if it stopped and you've survived it so far, would you continue? But somewhere in my mind, like, I wanted the accomplishment of scooting all the way home. So I decided to push on. And, like, I don't know. Maybe I've been in Texas too long. Maybe it's the scooter. I don't know. But something, like, quelled all of my black instincts and told me, go ahead and let's figure out a way past this dead end. So I figure out that it's a dead end because the street ends, but there's an actual trail. So, like, West Cowpath is like a trail. And in Texas, I mean, this could be everywhere, but I'm speaking from a Texas perspective. In Texas and Austin, like, there are trails everywhere. Like, there's, like, everywhere you go, there's, like, a park not too far from you. And the park will connect different neighborhoods to different neighborhoods with trails. And people bike on the trails, people run on the trails, walk on the trails. Whatever it is you do it on the trail. So I see the entrance to the trail, and I'm like, fuck it, it can't be that far. I'm not trying to turn around, go back to the bus stop, possibly have missed that bus, had to wait on another bus. I want to scoot home, so we're going to keep going forward. Again, I should have turned around, because this is not like I'm a street sidewalk scooter. I'm an urban scooter at this point. I don't own a scooter designed for off-roading, and if you had seen this trail, this path, it was not meant for, like, you needed to have some serious, you know, dirt bike type shit to get there. Like, it's just rocks and it's pitch black. Like, I was already in the residential area, so there really weren't street lights, and now you're in on a trail in the woods, so it's no lights. So I got a light on the front of my scooter. So, you know, again, my blackness did not kick in and tell me, not a good idea, homie. I just turned the light on my scooter. And so now I'm, like, carrying the scooter but using the light to see ahead of me. And I can only see, like, not very far ahead of me. And I'm just really surrounded by woods. And I'm hitting, like, all of the horror movie stereotypical things was happening. Like, I was hitting forks in the road where the way forward wasn't really clear. And I could pick one side or another side. And I'm kind of looking, and like, that one goes around a corner, and it looked like it might not be shit around the corner, so let me take this left. And then I hit like this area that was like a water feature. It looked like a little like shallow pond, but the water was all like just black, and it just looked evil. And it just happened to be like some stones that you could walk across this black pond shit in the middle of the night. And I didn't turn around, picked up the scooter, and I, you know, picked my way across these little stones in the middle of this God knows what is under this water thing. I make it across that miraculously, and I'm getting hit with more. Then I'm running into like shit that looks like man-made tree sculptures and shit. Like, this is, it looked like some, like I'm heading into some Blair Witch or some, this is where they have the rituals type situation, and I'm still going. Like, why am I not turning around? Like, if there had been a mountain lion or anything in these woods, like, it was it for me. And who would have explained that to my daughter, that he just, there was no reason for him to be there, and he just pushed on. Like, he put himself in the middle of fucking woods in the middle of the night with no lights and black water and wood tree branch sculptures. Like, it's getting really scary, and I'm like scared out of my mind, and I'm still not turning around. Like, why am I not turning around? It got to a point I went in a circle. Like, I'm in the dark, and it really isn't no clear path forward. You just like making moves where there aren't trees directly in your face. And I ended up going in a complete circle and being back at the water. Like, this should have been, like, this is a trap, dude. Like, you are on cow path, slaughterhouse lane. You confused, you disoriented, it's dark, and now you walked in a circle. Like, you are in the trap. You've done everything that you was not supposed to do. Find your way out this shit. Like, just stop going forward. And it didn't stop. It didn't stop. And I did eventually get out. And I have to say, in my mind, what had to have saved me is that, like, the serial killer or the monsters, and they had to have been confused. They had to have been like, nah, it's not a black dude. Like, nah, it's not. He not going to keep. Nah, he going to go across the. All right, he going to turn around when he get to the sculptures that we put out there. He got the sculptures. Like, that looked like some shit been sacrificed over there. I know he ain't turning around. Like, they had to been like, let's see how far this shit goes. And then eventually I got out, and they're like, that, who knew? Like, they wasn't prepared for a black person to come through there, so they never, like, figured out the attack part. I don't know. I don't know how I survived. I just know I shouldn't have survived. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life. And it's, you know, it's serious grounds for getting my black card revoked. I want to apologize to the black delegation for, you know, misrepresenting the culture. Had something bad happen to me, like, everything I've ever said on this podcast would have come into question. Like, it would have been a black eye for us all. So I apologize. I needed to snitch on myself and get that off my chest. You know, if you lose your blackness from time to time, just admit it, you know, and come back to the fold. You know, I'm hoping that y'all will accept me. I would definitely accept you. You know, I just need to do that. Thank y'all for letting me share. Like, I'm at a meeting or some shit. All right. Moving forward, I wanted to talk about some stuff, because what I'm seeing right now is we're in this culture where people are like decisions are being made, and we're given one thing as the motivation behind the decision, but the logic and the actions that follow up these decisions don't match that motivation. And I just, for me, just like me telling that story, you know, it's just like, just be honest. Like, if you just tell us the truth about what it is that you're trying to do, it feels better than for you to, like, keep lying, pretending like nobody could tell us a lie. Like, that's the shit that's pissing me off. So, okay, let's get to what I'm actually talking about. Two things. And the first thing, I don't want to talk about no more, but I don't have no choice. Like, it just keeps getting worse and funnier, and I just, I don't want to talk about it, but I got to. Antonio Brown, like, I suffer from mental disorders. I recognize it. Like, this, you got to see it at this point. Like, this dude, something's wrong with this guy, and it's not that he's a bad person. It's that he's probably fighting his own thoughts. Like, he got to be fighting something, because you don't just do this type of shit normally. Like, if you look at people and they doing something that seems crazy, like, why don't we understand that, like, craziness is not a choice? Like, you don't know that the thing you're doing is crazy and, like, choose to do it. You honestly think in your mind it's the same right thing to do. So when Antonio Brown is farting at the fucking doctor's office while he's doing a body fat measurement, like, that's not him, like, what's the insane shit I can do? Let me do something insane. Like, something in his brain said, this is right. This is what I should be doing. This is going to be funny. We're going to make it go viral and all this other shit. Like, that's not him being a diva. That's, he thought that was the right thing to do. He did that for you. Like, he somehow felt like that was going to help you and us and his career. And the fact that it became news, the fact that him farting at the doctor's office became news, became something that people talked about. And don't look at it like I'm the only person that read the story. Like, it wasn't news. You the only motherfucker talking about the farting. I know you saw the story. And he farted in the dude's face, and there's video of it and text messages about them laughing about the farting. It's a whole fart gate when it comes to Antonio Brown. But then he did even dumber shit. So then we didn't even have to talk about Fartgate. So, all right, with the Fartgate, the doctor came out and said, you know, he was farting in my office. It was blah, blah, blah. He owes me money. And then Antonio Brown comes out and says, well, I got text messages that prove he thought the farting was funny. Like, this is real. This actually happened. Like, I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. I read the articles. I didn't just look at the headlines. I read the fucking articles. The doctor was upset about the farting. Antonio Brown said he knew about the farting and was cool with the farting and released, like, text messages where the dude was saying, like, it was funny or it was hilarious or whatever. So he sees how you can make a claim, and then if somebody else has a text message from you that goes against that claim, it just throws all your credibility off. So then what does Antonio Brown do? He sends a threatening text message to the woman that's accusing him of sexual assault. That's crazy, right? That's crazy. And to me, you can't, there's no way you can be sane and make that choice logically. Something is wrong with the way you think. So let's not look at Antonio Brown like he's choosing to be crazy. Somewhere in his mind, and he plays a sport where you get hit a lot, so he's got a lot of excuses. Somewhere in his mind, this made sense, and that's why he did it. Yeah, it's not because he's just a diva or something, like, you know. And to take it for, like, here's the one thing that I did find hilarious about the whole situation is that when I read the articles about him farting in a doctor's office, and then I actually saw the, and there's video, I actually saw the video of him in the doctor's office farting, I honestly was relieved. Because with a lot of the shit that he's done recently and the hairstyles and all that, I wasn't sure that his farts made a sound anymore. Like, I wasn't. And now, you know, now we know. So that's a good thing. But at the end of the day with all of this, I want to take it back to this. So he gets released by the Patriots in the midst of all of these sexual assault allegations. And they, you know, they release a statement that, you know, that's just not the direction that they think the team should be going in. Blah, 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 blah. And again, black folks, I want to come back to this. Look at this. He got released, and it looks like he may never play in the NFL again for something he got accused of doing. Now, I'm not saying he didn't do it, and I'm not taking anything away from the alleged victim. But we're talking about accusations. And he's facing consequences of accusations. He's facing far stiffer consequences over accusations than he is facing for the things we know he did in public, in front of his teammates, in front of, you know, for everybody to see. If he called this white man a cracker and threatened to punch him in the face, and there are stiffer consequences for being accused of something than there are for him doing that in public where everybody saw, this is setting very dangerous precedent. Anyway, I'm telling you, like, it's not, we gotta look at this and be like, nah, you know, we can't stand behind this 100%, because when it happens, and it's going to happen, that one of the players or somebody gets called a nigga at practice, what the fuck are we going to say? It was all good when AB did it. We only got mad because he got accused of sexual assault. That's when we thought maybe he, you know, he don't have a place in the NFL. Now when he did some blatantly racist shit and threatened to physically harm, you know, his boss, we don't, when it switches up, we're not going to have a leg to stand on. So I'm just saying, when you're against racism or when you try to be against something from a moral standpoint, I feel like you have to be against it completely. Not just when the outcome goes your way, not just when it benefits you. And this is where we look bad on this, is that we're turning a blind eye to something because, you know, it didn't happen to us. But as soon as it happens to us, we're going to want everybody to be outraged, and we didn't jump on the outrage train this time. I believe that's hypocritical, and I'm not sure it helps the cause. It makes the cause look, it takes something away from the cause. It takes something away from, you know, the point when you try to make it later. Like, you're not going to have a point. And then to tie this into my original point was that, you know, clearly whatever's happening to AB, the motivations behind it are not being truly expressed. I don't know if the NFL is parting ways, or the Patriots are parting ways with him based off accusations or not, when based off stuff that he did in public that everybody knows. There don't need to be no trial about this. There is no, you know, there's no discussion. It happened. They're witnesses. People saw it. People were there. It happened. And that's not enough, you know, to face real consequences. So it doesn't sound like their motivation behind their decision making when it comes to, you know, him not playing or anything is real. It doesn't sound like it's real, because these are accusations. It's like, you care more about accusations than you care about actual actions. Like, it doesn't quite make sense to me. And the fact that we all going along with it, to me, sets us up for more nonsensical shit in the future. Like, I don't know. And so this is happening in another situation that affects me. This one don't really affect me. I really don't give a fuck, other than the fact that from a, like, a mental health standpoint, I worry about AB. Something's wrong with the dude. I think we all need to worry about him. But on another note, then we have this whole vaping controversy. We have this whole thing going on with vaping. New York this week instituted a ban on flavored e-liquids or whatever, you know. Like, they banning the sale and manufacturing of the stuff within the state. It's going to become very difficult for vapers to continue vaping in New York. So, and again, the motivation that we're being given behind these decisions is this mysterious vaping illness, which they still can't say really what it is or how vaping directly causes it. They just are saying that vaping is the common strand between all of the victims. And it's really, what, like I said in the first, when I first started talking about this, it's just like, you know, we don't know what it is. We just know it's vaping. Like, I can't tell you exactly what is what. I just know that it's got to be that goddamn vape. And if we stop the vaping, the things will stop. Now, not to say that we're not talking about something that's been happening for more than a decade, an industry that's existed for more than a decade with millions upon millions of users. And, you know, which is part of the reason why there's these huge campaigns to get rid of it. And now all of a sudden this mysterious thing that we really can't explain, but all we can say is we think it may be possibly because of the core, you know, we're going to put this correlation together that don't exactly have enough evidence to do, but it suits our argument, so let's do it, you know. And then when you look at the reality of the situation, right? So if it, and you can look this up. I had to look it up. It was brought to me, you know, it was not something I was aware of. It was something that had to be brought to my attention. There's these the Master Settlement Agreement between Big Tobacco and the United States of America. So basically, there was a settlement made between, you know, I think 46 states and Big Tobacco, where those states would pretty much stop pursuing them for damages for the deaths and the health, the harmful health effects of their product in those states. If they agreed to the settlement, they pay the states a certain amount of money. And it's pretty much like an annuity. It's like a yearly amount. I don't know if it's paid yearly or monthly, but it's paid continuously over time. And it is based on the amount that the states get paid is based on the revenue from cigarette sales. So if the revenue from cigarette sales goes down, the amount of money that these states receive go down. And then here's how a lot of states work. If they know money is coming, and back in the day, cigarette money was pretty much a sure bet. Like, it ain't going away. We're not going to ban that. We're not going to talk about banning cigarettes. So they're going to be sold, and it's an addictive product, and millions of people are doing it. So we know the revenue coming in, so we know we're going to get our money. So they spend it ahead of time. They spend it knowing it's coming. So now you have this product that's out there. It's supposed to be a quote-unquote healthier alternative to smoking that there's a lot of evidence showing people use to get off cigarettes. It's not a big pharma, not a big tobacco product. They don't see revenue from it. So as people start to get away from cigarettes, as young people who used to smoke now don't smoke but do e-cigs, and the revenue goes down, now these states are in danger and not seeing the same amount of money, and now all of a sudden it's a public health crisis. As if cigarettes aren't. You see what I'm saying? Like, the motivation and logic don't make sense. But everybody is so outraged about this thing. It's like, how are you outraged about the thing you think might, we don't know, kill people? And we have been cool for years with the thing that we know kills people. And we got other countries, we got the UK, we got, you know, Great Britain talking about the health benefits and how it's helped, you know, their country and helped people get away from cigarettes and how things have gotten better. We've got them saying, hey, this is, seems to be a vast overcorrection. I don't think you're handling this correctly. But it's clearly that the motivation, the message we're receiving as the motivation is bullshit. But people will jump behind it because don't nobody read the articles. They just read the headlines. And everybody wants to be woke. But to be woke, you got to read the article. You can't be woke reading headlines. You can't be woke trying to be the first to it, but everybody got to be the first one to be woke, so they got to read the headline and they got to react. Can't take time to really look at the issue and really dig deep and form an opinion, because by then you late to the train, because 100 opinions have already been out there and now you the one showing up late. That's not the way it's supposed to work. And I'm just saying, you know, if you don't have to agree with vaping, you don't have to think it's a good thing, you don't have to think it should be allowed. But let your reasoning for why it shouldn't be allowed be honest. Be honest about the reasons that you don't want it. Be honest about why you're trying to get rid of it. Because the outrage doesn't make any sense. It makes zero fucking sense. And people are continuously going behind this thing and possibly getting rid of something that, contrary to current, you know, headlines, saves lives. I got videos, you know, on my Facebook from, you know, elderly women who use vaping to get off cigarettes, and they don't want it taken away because a youngster decided to misuse it. Ain't nobody getting rid of flavored liquor. You know, all the flavors of Mad Dog. I know that was the first thing I drank as a kid. Boone's Farm. It had fruity, delicious fucking flavors, and that's why I drank it. But we're not talking about that. So let's just be real about the motivation. I'm not saying you gotta agree with it or like vaping. Just be honest about your motivation behind it. Like don't feed me bullshit and tell me it's not a lie. I'll be okay one way or another. You take it away, you don't take it away, you ban it, you don't ban it, I'm gonna exist. But don't ban it saying you did it for my benefit and that don't make sense. All right, off my soapbox. Enough of that. I don't know if I got anything funny to follow it up with. This went way off the rails. Anyway, but Boston did. Shout out to Boston. Boston, good idea, Boston. Boston instituted a policy with flavored e-liquid that it has to be, it's restricted to only being sold in adult stores. So the stores that it is being sold in have to be stores that you have to be 18 or older or 21 or however old it is to get into these stores. You can't even go into these stores if you're not of age. And I'm sure that puts a dent in the vaping industry, but it's a dent. I'll accept that dent to allow it to exist. If this makes people more comfortable with its existence and keeps kids away from it, or possibly keeps kids away from it. But that solution is in line with the motivation. If you're telling me the motivation behind wanting to get rid of it or wanting to control it or have more control over it is to keep it away from children, then this looks like a step in that direction. Like you're trying to control it and keep it away from children. It doesn't look like you're just trying to get rid of it using a smear campaign so you can get your big tobacco money. I'm just saying. But with that said, I think I filled up the time that I need to fill up on today's episode. I don't know. I had a whole lot of epiphanies today, and there's some things that I do. I'm gonna leave y'all with this, and then I'm gonna let this whole shit go, and you can have the rest of your weekend. It's Sunday. I think the Redskins don't play till tomorrow, so. As you can hear, I'm not depressed yet. But I hear a lot of stuff. Like, I really want to do this episode. I'm calling it like a Mythbuster episode. So if you have things you think you know about vaping or men in relationships or addiction and alcoholism, and you want to, I'm going to go ahead and put myself out there as an expert. I can answer your questions. I can tell you if these things are true or where this shit comes from. I can help. So send me your questions. Flan, FLAN, at whatistws.com. Or, you know how to fucking find me. I'm still mad that y'all ain't telling me about the McGangbang because you know how to find me. But anyway, let me say this to you. A lot of people still see addiction and some of this stuff as a choice. And I had this thought today when I was in a meeting. We all, for as long as I can remember, have been spouting this definition of insanity, right? We've been spouting this. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And here's my thing. If any of you have been around an addict or an alcoholic or anybody affected by this, you definitely see them doing the same. They go down the same path. No one is going to be different this time. Like, no one, I can keep it under control, or I can make it, or it's going to be okay, or I'm not going to end up back in jail. I'm not going to lose my job this time. This stuff is not going to happen. You see people make these decisions over and over and over again, expecting it to turn out differently. Yet, you knowing that the definition of insanity is to make the same decision or to take the same action and expect a different outcome, you still think that that's a choice. You still think that that person is making a choice. You know from the definition that what I'm describing is insanity. And again, like Antonio Brown, I'm telling you, insanity is not a choice. Insanity is you fighting your own mind. Your mind is convincing you of things that aren't real, that aren't true. And you're not choosing these things. You're being tricked. You're being tricked by yourself. You're fighting yourself. If you could take a second and think about it from that perspective, you know what insanity is. You know the definition because you've been spouting that shit for years. And I'm talking everybody. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Look at a person who's going through something like that and look at the choices you think that they're making. and see if they don't fall in line with your definition of insanity, and if that maybe makes you look at them a little bit different. With that said, people, be safe, be the light, and don't think I forgot. High Rhapsody. But anyway, I'm about to get on with my weekend. I'm about to rock out for a bit. Hope y'all rock with me. Only 30 seconds this time because they on my ass. But love y'all. Peace.
Wholesaler look nothing like you and I, but you need son to get through the door with no colliding. Funny thing about it, you look inside of his ride, and he had a Make America Great hat on the side of him. Typical, clearing out the visuals. You walking with a panther head for residuals. He said that they don't make them in the style or the D or the shy, but believe if they flying, I'ma sling a few. Believe me when I say my man said that he bamboo on the steps. Tell him what you can and can't do for a tech. My man said that he bamboo on the steps.